And thank you, choir, and it's good to see everybody tonight on this Monday night of our special meetings with Brother Moore. It's great to have him and his wife with us for these 2 days. If you would, take your hymnals and turn to page number 406. Page 406, let's all stand. And let's sing it out tonight. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? And let's sing it out. 406, who is on the Lord's side?
Thank you. but it's real, it's real. Oh, I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled, for I know. Well, do I remember how I doubted day by day? For I did not know for certain that my sins were washed away. When the Spirit tried to tell me I would not the truth receive, I endeavored to be happy and to make myself believe. But it's real, it's real. Oh, I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled, for I know. When the truth came close and searching, all my joy would disappear, for I did not have the witness of the Spirit bright and clear. If at times the coming judgment would appear before my mind, oh, it made me so. For God's smile I could not find. But at last I tired of living such a life of fear and doubt. For I wanted God to give me something I would know about. So the truth would make me happy and the light would clearly shine. And the Spirit gave assurance that I'm His and He is mine. But it's real, it's real. Oh, I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled, for I know it's real. So I prayed to God in earnest, and not caring what folks said, I was hungry for salvation, my poor soul it must be fed. Then at last by faith I touched Him, and like sparks from smitten steel, just so quick salvation reached me. Oh, bless God, I know it's real, and it's real, it's real. Oh, I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled. Wonderful to have a real salvation. I don't understand these folks just hoping. Amen. When you can know. These things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. And if you don't know it, get it settled tonight. The sure hope there is. Amen. Praise God. Take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 8. While you're turning there, I like to tell stories. Sometimes I tell stories about my son-in-laws. And I got some good stories on my son-in-laws. And I might tell one on my son-in-law tomorrow night. I've got many of them. But I'd rather tell stories about my grandkids. And we had to stop on our way at Pilot Mountain and have lunch with those grandkids. Didn't have long, but I tell you, a little bit better than none. And I love those grandkids. Well, they all my son-in-laws, they were with us for a while at our church and worked with us and went to our, helped in our school, and the kids got to go to our school. And I was thinking about Abby when she was in kindergarten. And the teacher said, "Now, boys and girls, today we're going to learn about the widow woman." Now, how many of you know what a widow woman is? Abigail, she's so smart, raised her hand just immediately. She said, "Abby, do you know what a widow woman is?" She said, "Yes, she's a widow woman." Eli, he is watching my daughter Sarah, his mama, watching her iron clothes. And his favorite character is the Iron Man. And he said, "Mama, are you the Iron Man?" He thought he had a revelation for sure. Eli, when he was real little, my daughter Hannah was keeping them. Abby and Eli and Abby and my daughter Hannah, they were just having, you know, this having a Oreo cookie party, you know, and had milk and Oreos, dunking those Oreos in the milk. Well, Eli kept wanting to dunk his cookie, and they, you know, trying to keep him from making a mess. So she just gave Eli a cookie and just set him down on the floor. And then Abby and Hannah just went on eating their cookies, dunking the cookies. And they got to thinking, "Oh, where's Eli?" And so she said, "Eli, where are you?" Well, here he come down the hallway. Cookie crumbs just all over his mouth. Hands are dripping. She said, "Eli, where have you been?" "Eli, you didn't." Looked, opened the door of the bathroom, looked in the commode, cookie crumbs. Eli's got a thing. Him and Kaz, now they're just 30 days apart. When they were only about 3-4 years old, we were all at the house, and we were all having a big time. But my son-in-law kept hearing the commode flushing. And so none of the rest of us thought anything about it. You know, I'm oblivious when grandkids all at 12. We got 12 grandkids now. And so, I mean, all the racket, we're just oblivious what's going on. But my son-in-law, Jason, he went to check on them. And there was Eli and Kaz. Kaz was flushing the commode, and Eli was giving himself swirlies. Those boys just won't do. Take your Bible, turn to Acts. Raina, she said, "Mama, have you ever..." She said, "Have you ever heard a duck speak Spanish?" And Hannah said, "No, I don't think so." She said, "Quacka, quacka." She said, "I made that up." Acts chapter 8. If you would look down to verse 39. This is a passage of Scripture. No doubt you've heard preached many times. It's a wonderful chapter in the Bible. The church is just growing and going, and they're doing exactly what the verse behind me encourages each of us to do, to cease not to preach. Not ever let up. Just keep on keeping on, telling everybody about Jesus. And as a result, the church is multiplying. The church there, Jerusalem, is filling up. And the Lord had given them the command not just to give the gospel in Jerusalem, but in also Judea and Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria and uttermost part. It's not parts, but part. Because you could only be in one part at a time, and there's a part of this earth that God wants you to give the gospel in. But they were content being in Jerusalem. And God sent a motivation to get them to go and to do what He commanded them to do. And so Philip, upon this persecution and the scattering of the church there at Jerusalem, we find that Philip went to Samaria. Great revival. Oh, people are being saved by the scores and thousands, and Philip's enjoying it. The Holy Spirit says, Philip, I want you to go somewhere else. And He calls Philip away, brings him out into a desert place, and there's the caravan. There's a caravan coming down from Jerusalem, heading back to Egypt. And the Holy Spirit says, Philip, go join yourself. And so Philip comes alongside the chariot. He hears the man reading from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53, that great chapter on the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. Understandest what thou readest? How can I, except some man should guide me? And Philip joined himself in the chariot and began at the same place preaching unto him Jesus. And then the Ethiopian eunuch says, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest. He said, if thou believest with all thine heart. He made that great statement of faith, his faith in Christ. Verse 37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. Now, I like to read sometimes Matthew Henry's comments on, he's kind of a devotional. You can read after Matthew Henry sometime, get some good devotional ideas, but don't read after him on this chapter. And he said they went down into the water, and Philip poured water on his head. Dummy. Because it said they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. The word means he dunked him. Amen. He put him under. And when verse 39 is my text tonight, and I'm going to be preaching on this verse. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Notice that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. I want to preach tonight on why was the Ethiopian so happy. Because it does say he went on his way rejoicing. See, there are a lot of people, oh, they get saved, but they soon get over it. But he didn't. The Word of God says that he went on his way rejoicing. And I'd like to answer the question tonight, why was the Ethiopian so happy? I'd like to answer that from the Scriptures. From the Word of God. Now, this man was a fulfillment of Scriptures. In fact, he is written about before he was ever born. I'm going to prove it tonight from the Word of God. But one passage of Scripture, in Psalm 68, verse 31, said, "Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God." This man was a fulfillment of the Word of God. But can I say, so are you. So am I. Ephesians 2:17 says, "And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh." And you and I, when you trusted Christ as Savior, you became a fulfillment of the Word of God, as did this Ethiopian. I'm glad the Word of God's not for a select few. Amen. I'm glad it was for me. I'm glad it included me as well. Well, now, why was this man so happy? Why did he go on his way? On his way back home. It is believed that he began the church that spread throughout Ethiopia and even on up into Egypt. This man's influence there with the gospel that he took there. But what made this man so happy? First of all, let's notice some things that it was not. We see this man, he is described here in verse 27. This man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So it was not possessions. I mean, some people think if I only could win the lottery, then, man, I could be happy then. If I could get a better house, if I could drive a nicer car, if I had more money in the bank, if I had more things. But that man had those things. But it didn't make him happy. It wasn't power. Oh, I trust that Donald Trump found Jesus along the way. I've been praying that he did, and some have said that he did. But that man, if there's ever a man that was hungry, I think trying to get power, I mean, I guarantee you he has found out by now that power don't make you happy. I tell you, there couldn't be a happy place anywhere in the White House. I'd say it'd be tough to find a happy place. But it's not power. Power, it doesn't matter if you gain the whole world, can't make you happy. And it certainly wasn't the position that he had. He had a powerful position. It wasn't the pleasures, because this man no doubt had the ability to enjoy any pleasure, just like the rich man in Luke chapter 16, who fared sumptuously every day. But those things and the pleasures of this world can never make you happy. And if you're here tonight and you're looking for happiness and you've never really found it, maybe you've sought the pleasures. Can I say, last of all, it was not the preacher. It says there in our text in verse 39 that the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. You know, I run into people all the time. Say, "Oh yeah, I tell you, we used to have a wonderful preacher. I used to go to church. But I'll tell you, the preacher messed up or the preacher left." But I'm going to tell you tonight, your happiness is not tied to any man. And if God, if the Spirit of the Lord, and I know you have a happy preacher tonight, and you have a preacher that I can tell you enjoy being around, and you're glad that you have him as your pastor, but listen, if the Spirit of the Lord were to call him away, it don't mean that your joy has to go with him. Because there's something more that caused this man to go on his way rejoicing. What was it? First of all, I believe it was because someone cared for his soul. I tell you, it'd be a miserable feeling. And I don't know how you are. We pass three or four every time we came into a town or something, came near a stoplight. You see the bums. Isn't it amazing the younger that they have become? This past Christmas in our town, I just took notice. It seemed like everyone with a cardboard sign looked like they were in their 20s or 30s. Looked like plenty of good health. No reason why they couldn't be holding out a good job. But there they are. Gail and I, we stopped early this morning. As we were leaving Lexington, got caught kind of in the traffic jam. There, people going to work. And we got off the road there to get a cup of coffee at McDonald's. And there was this bum, and he's just like he's looking for a quarter. As we come around, well, we got what we wanted and at McDonald's, and we're coming back, and here he was still. He's like he's looking for a quarter. And I just commented to my wife, look, there he is still. Isn't that so sad? I tell you, there's nothing more sad than to be in a situation where you feel like nobody cares for you. That nobody cares. David said it this way. David said, I looked on my right hand, beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Could there be someone, maybe a neighbor? Could there be someone maybe near you where you work? Maybe someone that you've just passed on the street. But could it possibly be that they're one of those who would say, nobody cares about me? This man had that experience. Why, he had been up to Jerusalem. He's looking for happiness. He's looking for peace. But there was no one that cared for him. And we're going to think on that just a few moments. And we're going to show you. He got shunned up there. Guarantee you, he got shunned up there. I guarantee you, he left Jerusalem feeling nobody cares about me. No one cares for my soul. But there was some man come alongside of him. Said, hey, what you reading there? Do you understand? No, I sure can't unless somebody cares enough. Unless someone would just bother just a little bit to show me, to tell me, to help me. And here, don't you know, every time the rest of his life, as he walked down the road of life, he would think, I'm going to tell you, there was one person who cared enough about me. And every time he thought about that person who told him about Jesus, can you remember the person who told you about Jesus? I guarantee you, it thrills your soul every time you think about it. Why was this man rejoiced? Because somebody cared. Philip was obedient to the command that God had given him. The Lord had given the command to go, not just from into Jerusalem, through the streets of Jerusalem, but into all the world. Preach the gospel. He had done that. And there we find in that, now God had to use a little pressure to get those people out. I preached a message, one of the messages I preached from the earlier chapter, part of this chapter, on it's going great. And listen, if anybody ever asks you, how's it going, you can always say it's going great. You can always say it, because with them, it was great persecution. I mean, sometimes it's that way. And then after the death of Stephen, there was great lamentation. I mean, boy, those people were, oh, they were so sorrowful. And then there was this great persecution and there was great lamentation. But we find that because of the great persecution, the church was scattered abroad. It says in verse 4 that they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. Who was that?
that was the members. That was the church members that got scattered. They're the ones preaching. Just quickly, three kinds of preaching. Three different words. If you want to look them up, you want to do a word study, study every time the word preaching or preach is mentioned in this chapter, in Acts chapter 8, and it's used in three different forms. Three different words are used. If you look it up, do a word study. This first one is what everyone in this room should be doing. It means to tell the good news. That's what the gospel is. It literally means the gospel. To tell the good news. This church that was scattered abroad, now we find that the apostles stayed at Jerusalem. They stayed at Jerusalem, but the church, they were scattered and they went, hey, you ought to, I tell you, you won't believe how terrible it is to be a Christian. While they're persecuting us. We lost our job. Why we lost our house. Why we've lost our freedoms. It's terrible to be a Christian. No. All those things had happened and all those things were true because there was great persecution. There was great lamentation. But because they went telling the good news, you read on down, there was great joy. Hey, it's going great. You know what? Everybody needs to be telling people about Jesus. Everybody needs to care enough. Tell somebody about Jesus because somebody needs to know somebody cares. The whole church went preaching. Telling the good news. Now, Philip, he went to Samaria. And he began to preach. In fact, we find that there's a different word that is used for Philip's preaching. It means to lift up the voice and to cry aloud as a herald. To get up on the pulpit and proclaim, thus saith the Lord. Now, every church needs that kind of preacher too. That'll just preach the Word of God. Church needs both kinds of preachers. Need the congregation going out and bringing people in to the house of God. And the man of God that'll not be ashamed just to open up the Word of God and just proclaim. Preach the truth. Preach the Word. But there's a third kind. Church at Jerusalem, they wasn't for sure about all these Samaritans, these Gentiles getting saved. And so they sent a couple of men. They sent John and Peter down to check them out. And when we find that they got down there, then it says that they taught, preached. Means to teach there in verse number 25. Different word. They preach the Word of God. Now, that's what every church needs. It needs everybody going out telling everybody about Jesus. Bringing them in so your preacher can preach the Word of God. And then teachers that'll just disciple them. Just teach them. And bring them along. Sit beside of them. Show them where to turn to in the song book. Show them how to find the book of John. Show them how to find and just encourage them and teach them. We need those three kinds of preachers in every church. This man went on his way rejoicing because somebody cared for his soul. Oh, may it always be known that this church, your church, where you go, is known in a community for caring for souls. For caring for people. My wife and I last night, I guess we stayed 45 minutes at least after church listening to a poor soul. Oh, unbelievable what she's been through in her life. Oh, just break your heart. Break your heart. But she was just spilling it out and she was just beaming her face and just she kept saying it and kept coming back. And my wife and I, we kept kind of backing up, you know, and I was going around, going ahead and turning off some of the lights, you know. I mean, this is late. As everybody was gone, but she just kept smiling and just kept thanking us. She said, She said, I put on Facebook. She said, I just posted it. I found a church where there's a pastor who really cares for people. And his wife just cares for people. Oh, I want to be known for that. Don't you? This world needs to know somebody cares. And we find that Philip, he was obedient to the command that God had given. He was led by the Holy Spirit of God. And if you and I will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, He'll lead us to those who need the Savior. And then he took the Scriptures. And listen, don't go without the Word of God. It's not your persuasiveness. It's the Word of God. See, my wife struggled all of her young adult life because no one had taken the Scripture and showed her from the Word of God, based her faith upon the Word. And she was left with a void in her life. He began at the same place and preached unto him Jesus. Use the Word of God. Why was he rejoicing? Because someone cared for his soul. But secondly, because he got saved. Amen. He got saved. He got born again, as they'd say up in the mountains. I mean, he was saved. Psalm 118, verse 21. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Why did the psalmist say he would praise the Lord? Because he got saved. Got born again. See, he was under conviction and searching. And that's the reason he'd gone to Jerusalem. He went a great way, great distance, trying to find God. But no one told him up there. Isn't that amazing? The church at Jerusalem that had multiplied so and were given the command to take the gospel to the Gentiles, nobody had bothered while he was up there. He's on his way back home, just like he went down, just like he went up. And there's a lot of people trying religions everywhere. And they go back down just the way they went up. No change in their life. Come as you are and leave as you were. I mean, no change in their life. But this man, he got saved. You see, what he didn't realize when he was looking for the Lord was looking for him. So Lord was searching for him. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. See, God knew who he was. God knows who you are too. God sees you. He knows you. He knows your neighbor. He knows your friend. And see, he was in such a helpless condition. He was a eunuch. You understand, don't you? And under the law, Deuteronomy chapter 23, and verse number 1 says that a eunuch could never enter into the temple. Oh, that could never come in into the congregation of the Lord. No, they're not accepted. And when he went up there trying to find God, those Jews said, oh no, you can't come in here. You're not one of us. You don't fit here. See, this man, he's looking for God. He's in a helpless condition. But you know, that's where every one of us were. We were all in that shape. Every one of us. We were helpless without God. Lost in our sin. But not only was he a eunuch, and he could not enter in, he was a stranger. Again, under the law, a stranger could not come in to the congregation. Oh, you're not one of us. You're not a Hebrew. That word Hebrew means from beyond the other side. You're not from around here. Oh, you're not a Hebrew. You're not one of us. But you know what Jesus in Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Why was this man rejoicing? Because he got saved. Oh, what a change takes place in a person's life. Joy comes in. There's joy. Bible says that there's joy to the in the midst of heaven. in the midst of the angels, while the saints are rejoicing, the Savior is rejoicing, and the sinner. Oh, there's joy when it gets saved, born again. But third reason I believe this man went on his way rejoicing, because someone cared because he got saved, but because he was submissive. He was submissive to the Lord's command. He took the next step. He took the next step. You know, there's a lot of people, they go so far, they may get saved, but they don't follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And dear friend, if you're here tonight, you say, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. But if you stop short of doing what God has commanded you to do, your joy is going to stop. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. The command was given. He said, go you therefore into all the world. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even the end of the world. Amen. You see, obedience to the Savior brings joy. Jesus said in John 15:9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even if I have kept my Father's commandment, abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You say, I'm just not as happy as I was when I got saved. Have you followed the Lord in baptism? Have you taken the next step? Are you submissive to the Lord's command? You say, oh yeah, I got baptized one day, but then has the Lord given you something to do and you stopped up short? I mean, you just pulled up? You didn't go all the way through with it? I'm going to tell you something, your joy will stop. When you become disobedient, do you know the most miserable child in the nursery is the most disobedient one? I'm telling you, when you get where you're not doing what God wants you to do, you're going to find out your joy will come up short. But this man, he went on his way, rejoicing. And then, I believe because of the assembly of the church. Now, the man wasn't by himself, and there's plenty of examples as we go through the book of Acts, that when one got saved, there's a whole bunch got saved. And when one got baptized, there's a whole bunch got baptized. There's a whole caravan with this man. I believe it was not only this man, but that assembly that was with him. It is believed that this man, that there was literally a church planted, Brother Bobby. A church planted there that went back to Ethiopia that began to plant other churches. And I'm going to tell you something. The assembly will make you happy. You get out of the assembly. You don't assemble yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching, you'll find from that passage of Scripture you'll lose your joy too. There's joy in the assembly. I never will forget when I was just a boy, my dad was preaching a missions conference in our home church the church where I surrendered to preach. Brother Bobby, I went to Tennessee Temple in the good years. I'll always put it doesn't even exist now. But I went when it was something but I remember my dad did as well. But when I was little, the church that we were a part of was Victory Baptist Church in Rossville, Georgia. And Dr. Leroy Perry, his daughter back then, I was just a boy. My dad was preaching in a missions conference. His daughter had gotten out of church and away from God. And that week in the meeting, she was sick. She was in the hospital. Some of the members came by and told her, Brother Everdy's preaching tonight at church. She said, oh, I wish I could be there. Oh, I wish I could be there. Well, it was during the singing that evening. I heard someone screaming. There was some screaming, commotion in the back of the church.
A woman was screaming, "Oh, please let me stay. Please let me stay. Please don't take me back." Martha had stole a car from the parking lot of the hospital, drove herself to the church, and came in the church. And I never will forget, they put a lawn chair and at about in the back of the church, and she just rejoiced and praised the Lord. They called the hospital, said, we've got her here. She's safe. She's all right, and the car's here. But I never will forget that. I'm going to tell you something. You get out of the house of God, you'll lose your joy. You get away from where you ought to be, you'll lose your joy. There's joy in the assembly. But then let me say one more. I believe because of the satisfaction of the Word of God. Now listen, Christian. Are you rejoicing tonight? Are you a happy Christian? There's joy in the Word of God, and I want to prove it. Where was he reading? Isaiah 53. Let's turn there, would you? Turn, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. By his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He said, is that true? The Lord took all of our iniquity? Yes, he took your iniquity. You mean all of my sin? He got saved in Isaiah chapter 53. Don't you know they rejoiced a while, and that whole crowd, they rejoiced. They came down out of that chariot. He followed the Lord in baptism. And they shouted and they praised the Lord and they had a good time and looked around and said, "Where's Philip? I don't know, but it's sure good to be saved, isn't it?" And they shouted a while and they praised the Lord. And they said, "Hey, boys, we got to get home." So he gets back up in the chariot. What do you think he did when he got back to the chariot? I want to ask you a question. If you read a book that had 66 chapters and you were on chapter 53, and say you had something that just made you, you interrupted you for a little bit, what would you do the first chance you got? Well, you'd start back reading, wouldn't you? You see, back then, those long journeys, the caravan, if someone had a book, he had gone up to Jerusalem and he had gotten a copy of the Word of God. He got the book of Isaiah. Oh, great joy. Here, I don't know how long it had taken them, but they had read 53 chapters and he got saved on chapter 53. And man, he rejoiced and rejoiced. He got back up. So where do you think he started? Ooh, I think he started in Isaiah chapter 54. But you know, maybe the old devil got up in the chariot with him and said, "Oh, you're a eunuch. You don't even have family. You're childless. You'll never have children. Who are you?" And he got to read in Isaiah 54, verse 1. "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord." Oh, I can just imagine. And he goes on to say in verse 2, "Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes." Oh, you're part of the greatest family that there has ever been. You're part of the family of God. I believe he said, "Whoa, camel." And I believe they came down out of that chariot. I began to praise the Lord and they shouted a while. And that, I'm going to tell you, they began to say, "Hey, boys, we've got to get home." And so they got back up into the chariot. He said, "Boys, let's go now." And maybe, you read chapter 54. Now where do you think he got back to? Huh? Where do you think he got to? Think he may have start in chapter 55? Well, that old devil maybe tried to just throw some doubts. You know about your past. You know all the things you've done. You know who you really are. I know maybe you was saved, but are you still saved? And then he gets to reading Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And go on down to verse 5. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Let the wicked, verse 7, forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And he'd say, praise God, I'm saved. Hallelujah, I'm saved. I think he said, whoa, camel came back down out of that, because the Bible does say he went on his way rejoicing. Didn't it? Huh? He had the word of God. You know he was reading it on the way. And he's rejoicing every, and I'm going to tell you, it gets better every chapter. It gets better every chapter. They shouted to Wise, says, fellas, we'll never get home like this. So let's get back. Now, where was we? We read chapter 55. I got to chapter 56. And maybe the old devil said, yeah, but are you saved eternally? You think God really knows you? And he gets to chapter 56. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Maybe the old devil said, that's the Jew. But look at verse 3. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let what? The eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree, for thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house, and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also, the sons of the stranger that joined themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servant, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them what? Joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. The Lord God which gathereth the outcast of Israel saith, yet, and I underline this, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. I don't know about you, but I guarantee you, the Bible does say he went on his way rejoicing. I believe he said, whoa, camel, the Lord knows me, named me in his word. You ever found your name in there? I do all the time. And I don't know what you do, but I say, whoa, camel, I have to have a good time every now and then. Praise the Lord, he knows me and he cares about me. Don't say you're a eunuch. Don't say you're a dry tree. Don't say you're the son of a stranger. Don't say that you don't matter to God. It does say he went on his way rejoicing. I tell you that God's word is not just to collect memorabilia. I mean, pictures and four-leaf clovers and
cut out newspapers or dust. It'll bring you joy. I mean, the Word of God. You'll find yourself every time you need something. The other day, I thought about preaching it. I've had myself a good time preaching on this subject. I lost my billfold up in the woods for deer hunting. And right before dark. And that's a terrible thing. I mean, terrible thing to lose that. That's absolutely worthless. That has no value. None. Lost. Nor do you. Lost. In fact, if a felon finds it and takes it, it'll do you harm. It'll do me harm. I was so tore up. I hunted 3 days in the rain. In fact, that night, I spent hours that night with a flashlight in the rain, falling, slipping. I mean, I'm in the mountains. Falling, slid right down. I slid, I bet you, 30 feet just on my face right down that mountain. I mean, went to a lot of trouble. And I'm saying, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? You know where he took me, don't you? He took me to Luke chapter 15, the chapter on lost and found. And oh, how much the Lord taught me. I said, Lord, you see it. Show me. And after the Lord taught me a whole lot from his word, I found it. And then I called everybody that had been praying with me, rejoice with me, for I have found that which I'd lost. And we had a good time, too. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have a need that this don't have the answer for. It's got your name all through it. Whosoever's in there, time and time again. And the Lord knows you. He knows you. He knew you when he made Adam. Do you realize he made, that's when you were created. You weren't created when you were born. You were created when he made Adam. The color of your eyes, he made in Adam. The color of your hair and your skin. Now the size you are, you might have had something to do with. But he knows you. He knows you. And find yourself in the Word of God. It'll bring joy. Have you lost your joy? You may be here tonight. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. He'll bring joy. He'll bring joy to your heart. Joy to your soul. And can I say somebody cares for you? You matter. You mattered certainly to the Lord Jesus. You say, I'm saved. Have you followed the Lord? Have you been submissive? Have you taken the next step? Have you been obedient to what he wants you to do next? Have you stopped? Have you become unfaithful to the assembly of the house of God? Has it been a while since you just spent some time in his word, talking to him and let him talk to you? I'm going to tell you this, joy. Don't lose your joy. He went on his way rejoicing. You can too. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed and eyes closed. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and the instruments will come, have it in time of invitation. How many of you tonight, while our heads bowed and eyes closed, can raise a thankful hand to heaven and say that, I thank God one day he saved my soul. I'm glad he came to where I was, and I trusted him as my Savior. I know I'm saved. Would you just slip up your hand? Raise a thankful hand to heaven. If you know it. All right, you may take your hand down. Is there someone tonight struggling? You may be like my wife. You just don't have it settled. Preacher, if I died tonight, I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Would you slip up your hand? Would there be somebody like that? Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you slip up your hand? Just slip it up. I'm not sure, preacher. Just not sure. All right, while our heads are bowed, how many say, preacher, I know somebody that needs the Lord.
There's somebody that I need to care more for. There's somebody. Preacher, would you pray with me about somebody that needs Jesus? Would you pray with me that God will help me to do what Philip did to that man? Would you slip up your hand? How many have got somebody like that that's on your heart? Would you raise your hand? Amen. God bless you. How many of you tonight say, preacher, there's something that I've not done. I've pulled up short. I've not taken the next step. Pray for me. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? God bless you there and there. God bless you. Yes. God bless you. You may take it down. Oh, please take that next step. You'll find there's joy every step with Jesus. Every step with Jesus, there's joy. How many say, preacher, I haven't been faithful to the house of God like I ought to? Pray for me. Would you slip up your hand? Just not been faithful. All right, I see those hands. One other. How about the Word of God? When's the last time you took the time just to open it and find your picture in its pages and just knew God? God knew you. He knows you and your problem and your need. How many say, preacher, I haven't been in the Word like I should. Pray for me. Would you slip up your hand? God bless you. Yes, yes. Let's stand to our feet. Listen, if you raised your hand, won't you do something about it tonight? If you've lost your joy, won't you find it? Won't you find it? While our heads are bowed, the instruments are playing. You just step out. I'm going to ask Pastor Grimes if he would come. And I'm going to let him continue the invitation as his soul sees fit. That's right. Just step out from where you're at. Just step out from where you're at. Come on. That's right. And dear friend, if you're here and it's not certain, get it settled. Get it anchored to the Word. Anchored to the Word of God. Because it never changes. Your feelings can change, but the Word will never change. Amen. What are you struggling with tonight? Maybe a son or a daughter. Wayward. Away from God. Someone that maybe you need to care more for. Has something robbed you of your joy? Why don't you come tonight and say, oh Lord, that's what I need tonight. Are you giving the gospel? Are you one of those preachers that this church needs? God will help you. God will help you. Amen. Amen. That's right. Just obey the Lord. Amen.